I read it from a reputable green team site. This is from the CelticsBlog.com, right, Murray?
Correct.
Okay. Bobby Manning wrote this the other day, and it was just a survey of the players that came out of the third lottery position. Not the third pick, but the team that started with the third lottery position and what happened. He said,
this is Cousin Anthony. Welcome to the Bobcast.
I'm going to bomb this shit.
So that's where I got it from, Dave, just by the way.
You see at the top, Bobby Manning says, Shane Larkin, a game low minus 13, wouldn't go back to him in the second half. Who responds after the game? 11-19 timestamp, plus 13 second half. Keep the faith, fella.
Oh, so you want to start from the bottom or the top?
Yeah, we're going to start from the bottom and then we're here. My friend Rocco hitched the definitive list of Drake songs, and I thought that would be a perfect fit for the podcast. So, in the start of maybe a terrible precedent, friends are coming on the podcast, and that starts with Rocco. See, me and Rocco are good friends, but we don't agree on too much, and that's going to spill over into this podcast right here. He goes to American. He does politics stuff. He throws conspiracy theories around. And he's a major Drake apologist. So, as someone who's up and down on Drake, time to challenge him a little bit here. We are doing the top 20 Drake songs. Splitting it into two episodes. One today on Friday. Another on Monday. So, you'll have to wait for number one, but let's set the table with 20. Here we go. Episode 40 of the Bobcast. Any pizza places around?
Oh, yeah, there's some good pizza places. You got to go to Amy's. I've never been, but it's apparently the best. Then there's my personal favorite is La Via Pizzeria. You get an extra cheese from there, and you're on your ass. It tastes so good.
Well, I definitely want to learn how to make pizza. That's like one of my goals. You know, I love pizza. But I don't know. I got to find the right place. What's the minimum wage in D.C.?
$12.50. It's the highest in the country.
Are you against that?
No, because I make it, so.
Oh, there you go. I wish I could have done an internship or something, though. That's my big thing, but it's too late for that now.
I actually got an email today about an internship. I interviewed like 2 months ago, and they asked me to come back in for a second interview literally today. It's like, dude, I don't know what's wrong with you, but you fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's May 22nd.
Oh, man. Do you know who Lonnie Walker is?
No, I have no idea.
He has like crazy hair, and he played for Miami. He was probably the best player in Miami last year, basketball, the college. My second college choice. And they were interviewing him at the Combine, and they were asking him about the flat earth thing. And he was like, yeah, I don't know about the flat earth. The earth's definitely not flat. But then he's like, the earth is an illusion, though. I believe that. And then the whole desk is like, all right, we'll have to look that one up.
That's actually so funny.
Do you agree with that one? Is the earth an illusion?
Well, I think he's talking about the Matrix.
Yeah, like the movie thing?
Yeah, but like have you ever seen the Matrix?
Yeah, I've seen it. Is that like what the real life thing's all about?
Yeah, like actually being a simulation is what he's talking about.
Do you agree with that?
I think it has a lot of grounding because all of matter or all of atoms, I'm going to mess this up like slightly.
Or a lot.
Yeah. But all of matter, it's made up of like quarks, and there's like three kinds of quarks, and it's like an up quark, a down quark, or like an even quark or something like that. And then each one of those, there's like two different options, and it's like positive or negative or something like that. But so eventually, like, all of matter is just boiling down to a one or a zero, you know? And that's binary. That's binary. Like, isn't that crazy?
I guess.
Like, that's, like, that's the basis of simulation theory, is that, like, everything breaks down to binary.
So where are you on the flat earth?
Okay, it's more of a philosophical thought experiment than an actual conspiracy.
So you're right with Kyrie on that one.
No.
Wasn't that his explanation? He was like, I was doing an social. No, he was doing a social experiment. So yours is a philosophical experiment. Those are two different things.
To actually, so like, it's so it's epistemology. It's like understanding how you know something is real. And you yourself have absolutely zero possible way to know for a fact that the entire planet is round besides trusting, like, systems of mathematics and, like, scientific images. But, like, you yourself, until you actually, like, go into space and witness for yourself that the Earth is round with your own two eyes, can you say that the Earth is round?
Do you have the do you have the desire to go into space and see it, though?
No, they'd definitely kill me. Like, my rocket would explode or something.
So that's where, like, it really goes wrong for me, though, because you're not willing to go see it, but you're not willing to trust the people who are.
I mean, no, that's definitely true. But let's not, let's not act like becoming an astronaut is, like, an easy thing. Like, I can't just, like, go walk.
No, you're going to be able to pay for it, like, soon enough. Elon Musk.
All right, well, when it becomes, like, a private thing and I view that it's safe enough to be worth the risk, I'll definitely go. But I just don't care enough about validating whether or not the Earth is flat or not to, like, risk my life or, like, make a life-altering decision.
All right, so we're here today to talk about the top 20 Drake songs. You're a big Drake guy. I'm not. That's pretty much where we stand. Where do you stand with Drake after, like, 4 or 5 albums now, right? We're probably 5 albums in, studio albums.
Drake is the greatest hip-hop artist of all time.
Why, because of the numbers?
Because of the numbers and just his entire track record as a whole.
See, I wish I could always know what I'm going to expect from him, with maybe, like, slight variations, but it's just so all over the map, because I was going through this list, making this list, and there are some songs that are just flat-out awful. And there's a lot of them. Like, there are so many that I was able to cross out right away. Child's Play, that one just drives me crazy.
Wait, we need to introduce the list.
We're going to introduce the list. It's the top 20 Drake songs.
Yeah. I ranked every single song he's ever created. And I think one of the big appeals of Drake is that he has been able to change his style so much and conquer so many different genres. Like, you see with Kanye, but Kanye only...
Is he conquering, though, or is he just, like, dipping his toe into it?
The thing is, he himself is just so big, and he's such, like, a powerhouse in entertainment, that by dipping his toe, he just masters it, because it becomes the new sound. Like, he took over the R&B sound that's on the radio right now and turned it into Caribbean just by making a Caribbean R&B album. The people who host The Breakfast Club said it themselves, like, anything that Drake puts out becomes the sound of the radio. Like, Drake doesn't make radio hits. The radio makes their hits tailored to what Drake is doing.
I think that's coincidental, though. And I think that I agree with you there. Like, almost everything he's going to do is huge. I was listening to this Knowledge song the other day, and I think he had, like, a verse covered over it. And, like, one of the lines in it was that, like, the ladies are going to love what Drake drops no matter what it is. Girls like all the new Drake songs. They don't get me right there. And that's 100% true. And I can respect that. And I think when he, like, really starts boasting and backing up all this money and, like, status he has and, like, how just dominant of a force he is, that's when he's at his best or one of, like, his best styles. But I don't know. Sometimes he just veers so far away from that. Started from the bottom, especially. It's just, like, so... It's just so nonsensical. Like, he definitely didn't start from the bottom. He definitely isn't, like, a rags-to-riches story. But he had to, like, jump into that lane anyway, just because it was something for him to jump into. I feel like he wants to do everything, even though he's not capable of doing everything.
I think there's two ways of looking at that. And so I'll say the two points, and then I'll dive into a little bit about it. So the two ways is, the first, you can say that Drake always talks about how he's an entertainer and he just wants to make as much money and be as famous as possible. So his music doesn't necessarily have to be authentic for him, because his stated goal is to just entertain you. And if you can relate to, yeah, I started from the bottom and, like, this, that, and the other thing, he's doing his job, and I don't see why that is an issue. Like, sure, it does knock, like, the authenticity or the genuinity. I don't know the word.
The second one wasn't right, but the first one was.
Whatever. Of, like, what he's saying, like, yeah, that's definitely true, but if you just keep it in mind, like, I don't know, it doesn't really bother me. I don't need everybody who's talking to be being 100% authentic. Like, that is what it is. Like, it definitely adds an element, but it's not that big of an element for me. And then the other way is, like, everything's relative. Like, yeah, Drake comes from, like, a privileged background. Like, he didn't grow up in the hood. Big whoop. He still, like, goes through feelings and, like, has experiences as a person. Like, starting from the bottom, like, he is currently the biggest celebrity on the entire planet and has, like, an absolute cult following. When he was first born, because his parents had 200K, he, like, that didn't make him the most famous celebrity of all time. Like, he's worked his way, he's clawed his way. He invented the mixtape game. Like, he started the mixtape, started on Degrassi. You know how much money
did you say he invented the mixtape?
Yeah, we can get back into that. He revolutionized the mixtape.
All right, fine. If you want to say that, fine.
But, like, on Degrassi, you know what I'm talking about? Like, everyone always likes to harp that. They're like, yeah, you didn't start from the bottom. You started just Jimmy on Degrassi in the wheelchair. Like, no, shut up. Like, Degrassi probably paid him, like, $40K a year. Like, it was, like, not a well-paying primetime TV show, and they had 100 different actors on the show. But so, like, he, like, showcased himself on one episode of Degrassi, and then he just kept climbing from there, and now he's just massive. Like, everything he does is a hit. That started from the bottom, reaching the top. Like, I don't care what anybody says.
We're going to go 20 to 1, hopping back and forth.
All right. So should I go with my number 20?
Yeah, go to number 20.
All right. Nobody's going to know what this is. It's off Drake's first ever mixtape.
Yeah, you really dove deep into this one. We're going to hear some stuff that...
recently he's ever come out with. All right, it's called Come Winter. Can I play it or is that illegal?
Yeah, I'll kind of like throw a backdrop in of the beat or whatever. Yeah.
So, yeah. But it's just an all-time sex song. Like, it's just so... Drake's voice is just so silky. Like, he's so raw in it. Like, defining his... voice, he's still coming up. He's giving that southern smoke, which is so funny because when you think southern, you think the bottom of the U.S. and Toronto's to the north. So he's not even like global yet. He's still just talking about Canada in general. But his voice is just so smooth on it, and
See, going through his early music, I actually didn't. It reminded me that he's gotten much better at singing as time goes on. And even though I think his music has deteriorated across his five albums, it's been like a bell. It's gone up in the middle and then down toward the end. I do give him a lot of credit for how much he's improved that, because I was going back on that Thank Me Later music, and the singing's a little... like a little strain. Thank me. What was the big hit off that first album? It was
something.
It was like you've been. What was that one? Can you pick it up?
I have no idea.
All right, Find Your Love. That was it.
Oh, you better find your love. Yeah, that's a banger. I think that's on my list.
I know, but I didn't like this. All right, so my 20s headlines.
All right, wait. So, your 20 is headlines? That's outrageous.
Yeah.
Just one more thing off of Come Winter. I think one of the things Drake has done very, very well, almost to kind of an unparalleled extent, is he's mastered the art of making five-minute songs. Like, so many people... He had so many five-minute songs. All of his opening songs off his albums are, like, 5 minutes on a variation. Tuscan Leather, I think, is, like, the pinnacle of this. Like, Tuscan Leather is just such a good song. Maybe it'll be on this list later on. But Come Winter is, like, Drake's first stab at a five-minute song.
All right. He's the master of the five-minute song. All right.
Song, yeah.
He just lets it play out a few more seconds so it gets to that five right on the mark. So you're not big on headlines 20. It's a little too low for you.
Outrageously too low.
Yeah, it's one of his better flow tracks, and it squeezed into the top 20 over a few others because I like when he's just straight up rapping. I actually think he's an underrated, you know, strict rapper just because of how many different things he ends up doing. I will say, though,
just go in on a song like no other.
Yeah, he's great at that. And there's actually examples of him doing that better later on this list. So what's your 19?
My 19? Oh, absolute classic off of Nothing Was the Same. Worst Behavior.
There's moments where Drake struggles. We're going to bring up a bunch of those stuff this list, I'm sure, as we disagree on these. But that chorus. Never loved us. Never loved us.
It's such a quotable song, though. And it's one of those things that, because you always want those songs in your rotation that aren't just all bangers. Like, you need a little bit of a mood level or other. Worst Behavior is that perfect transition song, I feel like. That's when you're starting to be like, all right, like, the night is coming on. Like, I'm my worst behavior. Like, yeah, let's get up. Like, it serves a very necessary purpose in just existing as a song for entertainment purposes. And I think this is that song that you know exactly when you can and can't play it. And when it's on, it's on.
No, I'm going to get to that in just a second because I'm with you on that. That's just not the song for me because of the... That flow just doesn't do it. That's not his flow. And on top of that, it's just not... I don't like it. That doesn't do it for me.
I think you're making a key mistake here. You're forgetting, like, you're thinking of Drake as, like, skinny little Drake, like, nice guy Drake, because you're knocking him for not being hard enough for that flow, right?
No, I just don't think it's a good flow in general.
All right. Well, I was going to say, nothing was the same as when he started juicing a little bit, and that's when he was jacked.
I'll give him credit for that, too. He has picked it up arms-wise over the years. Yeah,
he was totally on the juice.
So, 19 for me. You're mad I did features, but 100 with The Game. That, like, his status in The Game.
Good verse.
And not only was the verse great, but just, like, the way The Game was, like, swooning over him on that. Like, you know The Game, like, gets in a beef, like, every other day with people for no reason at all. And, like, he's not going to bow down to anybody for, like, no reason. But, like, he was just, like... Drake, anytime you need me, bulletproof vest, you need me to come to Toronto, like, I'm going to do anything for you. And I don't know why he did that, and I don't know why he felt the need to, like, appease Drake on the song, but, like, the beat was very Drake, the way it sounded, it was just, like, a very Drake-sounding song. And that was really one of the big hits off that Documentary 2 album. So
I'll give it the biggest, I feel like.
Yeah, it was up there. Yeah. Drake's power to take over a feature, shine there.
Yeah, I won't knock you for that pick. I excluded all features from my list. I wanted to be a Drake-dominant song, but I do have two exceptions to this that I'm going to get at now because my next song, what number are we at?
18.
My 18th song is For Free, which is a DJ Khaled song with Drake feature. But, I mean, DJ Khaled doesn't really have songs. Like, this is Drake's song. He's rapping.
Yeah, we've talked about this before because there was a Spillage Village song on that album, too. J.I.D. and J. Cole and all of them. And that eventually just became like that Jermaine interlude that J. Cole rapped on. So I feel like that kind of probably is the method for a lot of Khaled songs. Or you seem to think that Khaled wrote that in Drake's voice, which I won't rule out either.
Yeah, or not even necessarily in Drake's voice. I think Khaled just makes these tracks with somebody in mind.
Yeah.
Like, he's just that smart. Like, I can't fathom being able to do that, but I can see him being able to do that because he always just puts out bangers.
Yeah, this song was awesome, though. I remember when you showed me this one, and I was just like, all right, he's got it here. It was so smooth. So you're going towards the sex factor, too, so that one definitely hits the mark here, too.
Well, so just another note on this song. I initially had it a little bit higher. I initially had it clocked in at 10. But if you play it for the entire duration, DJ Khaled just starts going off in the last, like, 40 to 30 seconds. And it is inexplainably bad. It ruins the entire song. Like, that's a song that you just have your phone on shuffle. You have to sprint over to your phone to just skip to the song as soon as it ends. So for me, that's why I dropped all the way down to 18. But in general, I think it is a great.
I think he was like, they don't want to see me make another anthem. So I made another anthem.
Yeah, that's what it is. Exactly.
All right, my 18's Controller. I bet you're surprised to hear that on here. But
I am, because you always talk about how much you hate that album.
Yeah, there's actually a few Views tracks on here, but that's definitely my least favorite Drake album. But this is from just being at the parties, hearing what gets the people going, seeing what happens when this song comes on. I'll leave that to the imagination. I'm all for it. I'm all for this song. And even though it's just like so far outside of Drake's lane, I thought he had another voice on that song. I probably should have looked up who that is ahead of time. That carried him pretty well through it. And the beat is pretty infectious on there. So that was one of the stronger moments of views. And I'm not going to knock anybody who wants to jam to that one, even though I'm probably not going to listen to it in my spare time.
Yeah, I enjoy Control as a song, but I feel like a lot of its appeal stems from the place where it comes within the album itself. So for me, as a standalone song, I don't really like it in a capsule. But when I'm listening to the album going straight through,
Beanie Man. He had Beanie Man on there, a Jamaican dancehall legend. So that's where, like, if he's gonna do a dancehall song, like, have a dancehall guy on there, like Jay-Z when he had Damian Marley on that Jamaican influence song on his most recent album.
Drake had Jamaican guy on the songs off of More Life.
And you'll have to bring up actually, UK. Yeah, those are UK guys.
That makes sense. All right, let's move on. What do you got for 17?
Hotline Bling. It's not my favorite.
That is too low. That's criminally low.
The song's just like a little too like bubblegummy for me. And the video is awesome. You know,
it was a meme.
You know how it became a big meme. And, you know, I'm never going to say anything positive about Trump, but the one thing I'll give him over the years was that SNL moment he had when he was dancing to the song in the box, too. That was pretty funny. So all those things combined in a package, I'm fine with this being in my top 20, but it had its time, and now I think its time has passed. It hasn't stood the test of time for me.
Okay, I'm going to save my defense of this song for when it comes on my list.
All right. Did you hit on your 17 yet?
Yeah, my 17 was Nice for What. And so my 16, we're dipping. Actually, yeah, I just skipped over that. I originally had it a little bit higher, but I kind of realized that it was just more of a recency bias. It's not that I actually like it as like a standalone song. But I do still think it is a banger, and it's going to stay as a club banger. It's going to be a song that whenever you put on, people are going to recognize and be like, hey, like, that's pretty good. So you'll never be able to like play it in a bad situation. But I think anytime you try to actually analyze the song, you will realize it's bad. But it just comes off as good.
The beat's solid. It starts a little choppy at the beginning, but it's definitely one of the more like infectious Drake productions. I mean, obviously he's not producing it, but beats that he has gone on in these years. So I'll give him that. I'm not big on his hooks, especially this one. It just like grounds into the ground a little bit too much for me. It's like Nice for What, and then like I can't even like remember the words to it, which isn't good when you're thinking of a chorus. But it's all right. It wasn't in my top 20, but there's also like the thing that like this came out right after the whole like Cardi B wave, so like, you know, Drake making like this little woman's anthem seems to be like a little disingenuous to me too, but
well,
he's coming in like a moment too late on it though. Like the wave passes, and then here comes Drake on the surfboard, like behind it. So I know you, that's not big on like what you're thinking about, but that slips into my mind here. My 16. I love like the whole. I know it didn't end well for him, but that whole little Rihanna Drake thing was fun while it lasted. Like his little pursuit of her, and that like really hit its head on Work, which was just an awesome song on both of their fronts. Another song that's just great for a party. People love it across the board. Drake's verse on there, snappy, nice, to the point. And that song is going to stand the test of time. I think it's been 2 or 3 years since it's come out. You'll still hear it on the radio from time to time, and I still love it all these years later.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I just don't have it because it's not a Drake song.
Rihanna's also someone who stands right up there with Drake, and anything she's doing right now is just going to be a hit out of the park. So
yeah, absolutely.
15.
Okay, so, and for 15 to contradict myself once again about Drake's, they have to be Drake's actual song. I'm On One by DJ Khaled. So I credit this as Drake's song because, again, it's DJ Khaled, so it's not Khaled's song. Drake has a verse and the chorus, whereas nobody else has more than that. So I think Drake just claims the song, and in general, the song just goes in. It's an all-time pump-up song, like on so many gym playlists. It's probably a 90% gym playlist. Where'd you go?
I don't want to cut myself out there. I didn't realize I was right up in your face there.
Bring the video back.
All right, fine.
I like it. All right, word, word. Yeah, that's all I have to say about I'm On One at 15.
Yeah, I struggled over putting this one in, but Forever made the list for me just because of the memories. You know, I like having a memory attached to a song. That's a big part of music listening for me. And I didn't know who Drake was before that track, and that introduced him to me. And it was just kind of like this posse cut that had, like, so many different, like, influential moments on it for me. Like, first time hearing Drake, that was sort of Eminem's return after his hiatus, and it was explosive. And you're like, all right, what's Eminem doing with this guy, Drake? And Lil Wayne's on there, of course. You have that connection. That ended up being a pivotal connection for years and years for Drake. And Lil Wayne, whenever Drake gets with Lil Wayne on a track, like, it just seems to inspire him, bring him to another level. Like, he seems focused, concise. I've never heard him spit a goofy lyric or a struggle bar on a Lil Wayne track. So those are big moments for him. And even though I don't love Forever, I don't listen to it often, just that memory of hearing that for the first time and never imagining what Drake would become back then. Like, I never in my wildest dreams would have imagined that he would, like, dominate the charts and be, like, the number one guy when I heard him back on that. And another example of back in those Thank Me Later years, the singing wasn't great, you know. Like, that didn't do it for me, but I like the track overall.
You have got to work on your singing.
Well, I'm just trying to emulate the bad Drake chorus. So I don't
pick up on one of your impressions yet.
Yeah, I gotta get the lyrics down. I'm excited to drop 13, but what's your do you have on 14 or are we down to 13?
No, we're on 14 now. I got Drake's biggest club hit ever, probably gonna still be a club hit in 10 years, maybe even 20 years. Who knows? One Dance.
Oh, I hate this song.
It's his biggest hit of all time.
Oh, it's just so, I don't even know what it is or what it's trying to be. It's just so, I don't know, something about it, the saying, the groove to it.
You're not a club guy. When you're in the club, you hear that.
But there's so many better options.
You're like, that's when you know it's go time. Like, the club's about to get 20 times more lit. I don't really know many songs that are like that, and I think this song is just gonna be like that forever. Like, so many Drake songs, especially come and gone in the club scene, and they like peak, like God's Plan, like peaked when it came out. And as soon as that hook came on, it was like, I only love my bed, my mom, I'm sorry. Like every single club, like on clockwork, like every girl would just start screaming the lyrics, like the music would cut out. And then, like, when those songs like lose their relevance, like that stops happening. But One Dance, it still happens. Like, it's just absolutely mind-boggling how that's stayed.
That's one of my least favorite Drake songs, and it still drives me crazy whenever I hear it. There's just something about it that bugs me. All right, so let's move on. Number 13. I had to include this one too, just because of how influential it was, and really it came to define Drake on his most important album. I don't know if you think Take Care is his best album, but I definitely think it's his most important. Like, it's where he took the turn from Thank Me Later and made a masterpiece. Like, I don't know if it's a classic. Like, everyone says, oh, Drake doesn't have a classic. It's close. I think
nothing is the same as Drake's classic.
I don't think that one's a classic, even though I love it. Like, we don't look back on that and say, like, it's not, like, in a museum or anything. Like, classic's a high bar. But Marvin's Room was my 13. The sad, introspective.
I don't have it on my list.
Yeah, I don't love it as a song, but, like, that's, like, that came to define Drake as an artist. And we have such, like, a tough time defining who he is because all the stuff he does. I think that, more than anything, is what we're going to remember, you know. The Photoshop.
All right, to counter this, I don't think Marvin's Room is worth all the hype. Like, yeah, it has that, like, very sappy chorus. It's like, hello, are you drunk right now? and like drink or whatever. But it's not actually the saddest song on the album. I'll get to what is the saddest song on the album. But once I feel like you appreciate this other song that I'm going to discuss when it comes to my list, you realize Martyrdom's like just overrated overall, and it's not worth the hype. So for that, it does not have a spot on my list.
Drake was actually sued by the person who was on the phone in that song. I wonder if she won. I just saw that.
It's a real person?
Yeah, that was like his. That was his ex-girlfriend. He implemented that into the song. Number one rule we've learned through the years with rap is to never leave a rapper a voicemail or just talk on the phone in general.
I can get to that as well when I bring up my next point. But that's actually wild. That kind of makes me like the song a little bit more because it's kind of savage.
Alright, so we're on to number 12 now?
Yes, right. For that one, I have one of Drake's best samples of all time. Too Much.
Ah, yes, I actually have that much higher in my list.
I think Drake really gets carried, which is why it's a little bit lower in my list, but as a standalone song, yeah, it's very good. But Too Much should definitely be in your sex rotation. It's definitely
on really?
Drake playlist. Oh yeah, when you're just like, don't think about it too much.
I think it's a little too soft for that actually, but what do I know? on to number 12, Lose You by Drake, off an album I did not like at all. More Life might actually be worse than Views.
I don't even think I know what that song is.
Yeah, it's one of the deeper cuts off of More Life. It's toward the end, and It's a reflective song. It sort of has that nothing was the same, like, atmospheric
beat. Is
that
his last song on the album?
Yeah, it's either the second to last or last song on the album.
Yeah, he's going off about how he sucked and he was angry when he made Views.
Yeah, and I like that Drake. You know, Drake's so influential when it comes to social media and the internet, and we're going to start getting into this in the top 10, but my favorite Drake songs are the ones that actually reflect on, like, what we talk about Drake for. Like, it's not just like him boasting and going crazy and like coming up with all this nonsense, like Child's Play, which I think is still his worst song. It's just so goofy and nonsensical. And, you know, he's not coming up with struggle bars here like he does on a lot of those last two albums. It's just, you know, there's so much material in his life. He's so influential that he can focus on that as his song content, and that'll carry him. And I don't know why he doesn't do it more often.
No, I absolutely agree. I got the deep cuts pretty high as well.
All right. You got your 12 in yet? 11.
Yeah, my 12 was Too Much, right?
Yep.
Oh, no, my 12 was my 12 is The Language. Also, got to be on your sex playlist. No, that's not true, actually. That's not on your sex playlist, but it's on your, like, your Marvin Gaye playlist, I say.
I'm not going to argue too much with that one. That one's all right. One of the better deep cuts off.
You got some of the best lines off and Nothing Was the Same.
Yeah.
She just want to smoke and fuck and said, girl, that's all that we do.
Great. So 11 for me. If you're reading this, it's too late. That album was electric because it is just bars. And there's some like...
What's the song?
Energy.
Oh, okay.
I don't think you're going to argue with that one. I think that's on everybody's Drake Top 20. Really? How come?
I feel like it's not what Drake does best. It's kind of like a cookie cutter, I'm trying to be hard and edgy song. I think it just falls flat.
Oh, you see, I think he's a great battle rapper. Like, I don't, it's weird. It doesn't make any sense. We know one of the songs coming up is going to exhibit just how great he was at that through the years, but he does it. Like, he's really able to get out there and throw shots at people. And, you know, I didn't include it in this list, but another example of a song where he's throwing shots and reflecting on, like, what's going on and what people are talking about was when Kid Cudi threw out the thing about him using ghostwriters, and that was when everyone was swinging at him, and that really could have been, like, a declining moment for Drake, but the way he was able to just fire back at everybody with Two Birds, One Stone, going at Pusha T in that song, and I think he threw a low blow at Kid Cudi, but he felt the need to respond, and that's how he did it, so it is what it is. And yeah, of course the Meek Mill feud, which was huge for him because he did win that. But Energy was another example of a more broad-ranging attack on just rivals in general.
Yeah, I feel like Energy was Drake's arrival into that like hard rap scene, because I'm pretty sure if you're reading this too late, it came out like a little bit in advance at the very least of the Meek Mill drama. So I feel like if Back to Back had come out before Energy, it would have been like, whoa, like what is Drake doing? Because he never had like hard go-in song. And a lot of the songs on If You're Reading This Too Late had that vibe. So Drake had positioned himself. And don't forget, this is also when he was Royce Drake.
Yeah, and this is also the big thing about this album is the fact that it was like his cop-out on Cash Money, and Lil Wayne was just about to get into that feud with Birdman, and the war was about to begin over there that is so ongoing that no one even talks about it anymore. But
that's very...
Yeah, the way he got out of the record with that surprise album and how good it was, like, that was a very special album.
This could be Drake's classic.
It could be, yeah. And, like, it was a mixtape. It was a mixtape, like, branded as an album, and it had album success. So... if you want to say revolutionize the mixtape, this might be your example. You're number 10.
Well, want the top 10? Head on over to the Bobcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Hit subscribe, and on Monday morning, you are going to find out our top 10 Drake songs. I've been enjoying this one, haven't you? I'm Bobby Manning. That's episode 40 of the Bobcast. And... we will be finishing this list up, along with several other projects I have in store, audio projects, ready to be heard on the Bobcast next week. See you then.
The Bobcast.
So that's where I got it from, Dave.
Lay off Shane Larkin. All right.